So, good morning or good afternoon, everybody. I'm Soichiro, and I'm very glad to rejoin the Capra after 5 or 6 years break. So, today I would like to talk about the recent efforts in Kyoto Group about the adiabatic waveform calculation for EMRIs, particularly based on the analytical approach to the black hole perturbation theory. So, as we know, so the EMRI waveform model for LISA needs to be very accurate and efficient and extensive. And the focus of my talk is the last aspects of the extensiveness. So what I mean by extensiveness here is the generic orbital configuration around the spinning astrophysical curve black hole. So eventually, the extensiveness should cover the secondary spin of the small body and the environmental effect, and ultimately the detector response of the LISA itself. But let's not talk about this latter feature and just focusing on the generic orbital configuration. So in the view of the extensiveness, even at the first prototype, so named adiabatic order, the actual calculation of the waveform is way computationally expensive. And indeed, there is only a few examples in literature, including, for example, the one performed by Fujita and Shibata last year, and more recent result by the Hughes and the collaborators. So this is why the phenomenological closed waveform model has to be used quite some time, trading accuracy for extensiveness and in addition to the efficiency. So the reason is why the waveform calculation is so expensive can be understood in the standard mass spectral decomposition. So in the view that this is a standard mass spectral decomposition to the waveform, the numerical challenge is the need for 10 to 5 or 10 to 6 mod per grid point in the EMRI parameter space. To generate a waveform, the four given curve spin, separation, eccentricity, and inclination, we need to compute in that to such a large number of the mod. But even in the most advanced numerical cross-space solver in the community, the calculation time is typically half a day or day. So it clearly is quite expensive or too expensive to cover 10 to 3 or 10 to 4 points to have the actual evolution of the EMRIs. So one of the recent efforts to overcome this computational challenge is to significantly accelerate this computational framework. And there has been already a good proposal by Chua and Katz appears the last years. So the context of this work is to offering the supplemental approach to the recent effort to the wave generation. That is the analytically computing the harmonic mode and the waveform just by solving the two-cross-case equation using the post-Newtonian techniques, and hence reducing the EMRI parameter space a bit. That is required for the very expensive numerical calculations. To make precise what we are doing, so let me introduce the multi-poise waveform of EMRIs. So the precise derivation of the multi-poise waveform will be discussed in Wednesday in the context of the two-time scale expansion and the second order surface calculation. But in this talk, so we don't need such advanced knowledge. Only what we need to know in this talk is just 2 points. The first point is that the mode amplitude Z, spheroidal harmonics S, and frequency omega appear in the waveform are all functions of the slowly evolving orbital parameters, which I take the separation P, eccentricity E, and inclination I. And secondly, at the first perturbative adiabatic order that we are interested in, these orbital parameters are just driven by the flux, or so named the average dissipative cell force. And the flux is also just a function of the evolving orbital parameters. So if one wishes to generate the waveform using this multi-poise form, all what we need to do is just computing the waveform inputs Z, spheroidal S, and flux F. And we're computing these quantities through the 5PN, while also expanding this quantity in eccentricity through E to 10. So at this point, I should say that our calculation does not assume in the expansion in the spin or inclination, making use of the very clever geodesic sources, proposed by the Gantz and his collaborator in the 2007. All right. So once we have computed every waveform input, it is quite straightforward to show in the waveform because our calculation is analytic, so it's quite cheap. However, it is quite important to assess that to the accuracy of the analytical calculation before showing the result. And to assess the accuracy here, I use the error metric, so named the mode distribution error. So this error metric essentially comparing that to the mode amplitude between analytical post-Newtonian calculation and exact numerical calculation for a given grid point. And presented it here is an example result of the error calculation for viewing angle theta equal 45 and inclination equal 80 degrees. The left panel is the best cases with the co-rotating spin plus 0.9, and the right panel is the worst cases with the counter-rotating spin with minus 0.9. And I just mentioned that this error trend does not strongly depend on the choice of the viewing angle and inclination, just because that our analytical calculation does not assume the expansion in inclinations. For recent inference studies, so this error metric should be less than 1 to minus 3. So I put it to this threshold error curve with a black dashed curve in both panels. So in general, so the threshold curve appears larger separation in the counter-rotating case. This is simply because the separatrix also appears at the larger separatrix in the counter-rotating case. So based on this error metric, so we briefly bracket the validity domain of our analytical calculation. Let's say about the p equal larger than 6 and e equal smaller than 0.3 at most, but any car spin and any inclinations. So all right, we now know that the analytical calculation can be usable. So it's time to see the final result of the waveform. So plotted here is the example evolution of the adiabatic waveform for generic orbit using the 5PN flux as a causation reaction model. So as a comparison or references, I also plotted the snapshot waveform at t equal zero generated by the numerical difficulty solver. Because the evolution is just at 0.5 days here, and the mode distribution error is quite small, so we virtually don't see that there's any differences here. So which means that the analytical waveform is quite good in this parameter regions. And I just wish to say that we see that quite rich structure in the waveform, and this is simply because the waveform contains the periastron advances and the lens ceiling orbital precessions. And of course, the longer term trend or slowly evolving nature of the waveform can be much visible if we see that in the time frequency plot. And we clearly see that the frequency is slowly evolving thanks to the radiation reaction. And also interestingly, so this evolution or this example can already hit the 3.3 to 2 resonances. Okay, so the resonance will be discussed in much in depth in the later sessions, maybe Thursday. But let me finish my talk with briefly mentioning that the self-force resonance and its impact to the evolutions. So in general, the self-force resonance occurs if the larger orbital frequency and the polar orbital frequency take an integer ratio. And this is a generic feature of the EMRI for the generic orbit. So why do we care about the resonances? So this is because at the resonance, the flux can be enhanced or diminished. So roughly speaking, the flux is the stationary piece of the dissipative self force in the Fourier domain. And at resonances, the phase of the sum of the oscillatory mode of the self force can be stationary. So this oscillatory mode becomes Okay, thanks, Chris. The oscillatory mode of the phase, the oscillatory phase of the oscillatory mode becomes zero. So some oscillatory mode can become constant to contribute to the flux. So indeed, thanks to this effect, so if we closely looking at the frequency evolution near the resonance, so we can clearly detect that some frequency jump at the resonance. So what I plot here is the difference in the slowly evolving the frequency between with resonance and without resonances. And thanks to the additional contribution from the fluxes, we clearly see that the frequency jumps where the 3-2 resonance occurs. So in this particular example, the amplitude of the resonance is quite small, it's 10 to minus 3, further divided by the square root of the mass ratio. Nevertheless, it is already quite big enough to induce the order one phase shift after a few months crossing the resonance. So this confirming that the importance of the transient resonance emery claimed in the various literature, and also qualitatively reproducing the result by Berry and Sperry, analyzed by the Kluge waveform models. Okay, so this is the last slide of my talk, and let me just briefly summarize. So the Kyoto group now able to compute in the adiabatic waveform for generic orbits in CAR, but using that analytical post-Newtonian framework for Tupolsky equations. So we bracketed the domains of the validity, and also we identify how to including that to the resonance in the evolution, albeit approximately. So the last part that I listed here is just a sum to the list, which I would like to look at in the near term. So more comes from Kyoto group in this year, so stay tuned, and thank you.
Thank you for the talk, teacher. Okay, so just a couple minutes for questions. Do we have any immediately? Yes, Beatrice.
Yeah, hi, thank you for your nice talk. I had a quick question. You said that you want to include higher order terms. To what order are you planning to go?
The analytical calculation, you mean?
Yes.
Good question. So the honest answer is that as far as the mathematical or MIPU can compute. But I think is that perhaps the 5PN or 6PN is pretty much the boundary where that we can practically do.
That's an honest answer. Thanks.
Any more questions? Yes. Renzo?
Yes. Thank you very much for the nice talk. I was wondering, how computationally expensive is, for instance, to produce those plots that you've shown for resonances, like, and those trajectories, including higher order terms?
So could you repeat your question? Perhaps I missed the last part of your question.
Yeah, in general, my question is how computationally expensive is this method that you're implementing, and especially for resonances, if it takes more time or more adjustments in general.
So for actual resonances, in your scheme, so we need to compute the additional flux modes. So definitely, it added to some extra computational cost, but it's not so expensive. I think it's as cheap as just computing the flux.
That's remarkable. Very nice.
Thank you.